Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello. Back in June 2019, we were interviewed by Steve Hill of 442 magazine just after we'd recorded an episode. So we recorded the interview as well. And with the kind permission of Steve and 442, here it is. You might think it's interesting. You might not. It's up to you. Hope you enjoy it, though.
Were you guys friends in real life? I know the Northeast is a big place. How did you guys meet? Did you approach Bob to do this?
It was through Twitter. Bob had started to follow me on Twitter, which I was thrilled by because I've always been a bit of a fan. And then
didn't sound like you were thrilled. Spent the first few times slagging me off.
Well, you started it because what happened was I'd been to Lidl and I'd bought a portable plastic greenhouse for £25. That I was very pleased with.
Solid.
And I tweeted about it. And suddenly in me replies, there was a tirade of abuse about it from Bob, saying that it was a load of shit and that it would fall down in the slightest breeze.
Based on experience?
And what a waste of money it was.
It did look a terrible unit. I mean, there's no two ways about it. The only way it could be purchased was if impulse plus foolish man.
That's kind of exactly what it was.
Because it's only the price. You only bought that because of the price. You saw a thing that was about 5 foot high and a foot wide and thought, at that price...
I saw a future. A glimpse into the future. And I've still got it and it's still boxed. And it's in the garage and I use it to ward off evil.
So based on that consumer advice, you thought this is the man for me to do a loosely football-based podcast.
Mutual antipathy sort of carried on after that for a while. And then... Bob invited me to watch him and Jim record House of Fools down here in London. Elstree,
wasn't
it?
The first time I met you were in Manchester.
No, it was second time. First series he did was Elstree, and then it was Salford. So we went for a few pints, and we sort of got along all right, and we both looked like football. And I think it might have been that night that the idea of a podcast was hatched, just sort of threw the idea out and said, that might be all right. Do one of them.
Yeah.
And then nothing came of it for a while. And then.
Well, yes, that thing, isn't it? I'm doing, people used to say, I'm writing a book, neither am I. I'm doing a podcast, neither am I. Were you aware of podcasts at the time? Were you a big listener of podcasts?
I think I had become aware of them, But in a sort of gentle way, I knew they were a thing. You know, like Ricky Gervais had
just
a podcast.
You gentle podcasts, were you?
I don't think my guess would be I'd never listened to a podcast, but I was aware that they were a thing. And around this same time, I'd just had me heart up. Right. And after me heart up, I did make a decision. Like, Jim Vicker, who I work with, knows nothing of football. Absolutely nothing. And so in all these 30 years, I've never been able to put... You know, in our stuff, we're always referencing celebrities all the time. But there's never been one mention of a footballer. Because it means nothing to Jim.
Literally, what? Maradona?
It wouldn't mean anything to him. He'd know the name Pelé, I'm sure, but he wouldn't be able to put a face to him. And I had it on my mind I'd like to do something with football, because in 50 years of following football, I've never actually done anything about it, media-wise.
And the podcast medium seemed like an easy thing to be able to do.
It is. I mean, you must have had to pitch stuff to TV stations and go through rejections. Yeah. Podcasts, what do you mean?
No, it's very liberal.
Press record. I assume it's slightly more complicated than that.
And that's the beauty of it. It's that freedom that we've got to just do whatever we want, especially now that it's not really a football podcast anymore.
Well, I suppose my next question, but was it initially intended to be about football?
Do you know what? I think it was, wasn't it, Andy?
Yeah, I think it was.
I think we did, I don't know if pompous is the word or whatever it is, but I think we thought we had things to say about football.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the first couple of episodes, we're looking at, quirky football stories that had appeared online that week and things. And we had, you know, Manchester United had a new official tractor partner, and Joe Allen had appeared on the front of Chickens Monthly, and they were real things. So we were kind of talking about them, but then obviously we sort of, it quickly went off at tangents with everything.
As the best podcasts do, I find, they evolve. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, you famously say episode 8 is the place to start.
I don't know if that's right.
It's just kind of, it took a few weeks just to find its feet, I think, and work out what it was. But the first 7 episodes are perfectly serviceable. You know, there's some nice stuff in there, but it just took that period of time to figure out what it was and what it was going to be. And
I mean, then you started bringing characters in. Was that the intention?
There's something about like the stuff me and Jim do, and probably Andy has similar instincts. Like, it's like one of the most depressing things is when there's a little voice at the back of your head, for me, saying that's just derivative or something else.
Yeah.
You're just, and like, I was feeling a bit like this has been covered so many times from fantasy football onwards. You know, who's got the best pie, who's this and what have you. And also, when we started trying to do anything actually football, I instantly felt, well, this has just been done better. It's done better everywhere by people actually know what they're talking about.
I mean, there are millions of football podcasts out there. So was it a deliberate attempt to stand out, or
it's just what happened. It's like feeling slightly uncomfortable. I can remember a moment saying that as criticising Yaya Torre's performance or something. I think, what the fuck?
Who cares?
Who cares what happened? You know, what?
Yeah.
And then thinking, I'm not doing that no more.
I remember a moment where, it might have been episode 3 or 4, where we were talking about Kiki Flores, who was the Watford manager at the time.
Yeah.
And we discussed whether or not he'd be able to scale the wall of a house using a Watford scarf.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, this is more like what we should be doing.
Yeah. I think the best things in my experience happen like that, because like when we did the big night out, we did about 12 big nights out before it was on the telly, or maybe 14, 15. But they just developed from doing it in front of an audience. There was no show, and then we did a different show for 12 weeks running, and like one thing stuck from every show. So by the end of 12 shows, we had 12 characters. You know, we had 12 things. And I think this has happened a bit with this,
really.
That's
the lovely thing with this. I mean, for example, the Alderman, who's just appeared in the episode we've done today, that just came out of a little comment about you lived near the dirty Alderman or something like that.
Did it?
And it then sprouted into this fully-fledged character who appeared in future episodes. And just little things. Barry Homeowner was a name that you gave me at the start of an episode.
Oh, right.
And you had a couple of lines about what he would sound like.
Yeah.
But that was fully-fledged character, and it came from that.
There's no football there at all. The Alderman, he doesn't support a team or anything, does he?
No.
He doesn't sound like a football character, does he?
That was from questions about me, about your millionaire lifestyle. And it soon became obvious that there was so much more to talk about than just football. So we've said for a long time now, it's not a football podcast. It's just elements of football in it.
It's a nice, like, arena to pluck from. Because we've all got our prejudices against teams or footballers. Like, a dead obvious one, I've got Harry Maguire down as a dozy farmer. And it's obvious, it's not, but, you know, like, it's a
just
nice
the look
little,
of him. Just.
I think it's the look of him and kind of the way he plays, you know, like, when he strides forward. when he strides forward, it's a fucking, it is tractor-like, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's he's great because he did that thing, didn't he, his first England game where he turned up with a bin bag with all his stuff in.
Yeah.
And I like that. It's off-brand a bit.
Cool. I mean, the running story I quite enjoy is Steve McLaren and Roy Hodgson. whatever. I mean, I think I listen to podcasts when I'm asleep, and I woke up during a kind of Warhammer episode, thinking what something
kind of
I've gone on to the wrong podcast or something.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a bad idea to just press play and fall asleep. It was a fitful night. I mean, where does that come from? Is it literally Roy Hodgson's voice that his inability to pronounce ours?
Didn't I tweet you and say we should do one where Roy Hammer.
You said, can you do a Roy Hodgson? I says, I'll have a go.
Also, I wrote a Warhammer.
Yeah.
It's like, that's just like plucking from it. You know, I'd seen that video that's been around for years where Roy Hodgson is swearing his fucking head. I mean, he's suddenly quite a nasty little bastard.
He's a piece of work,
which is a bit, what
it's a match of the day one, so don't fuck about. Let's do it again. Don't fuck about this. Yeah, that's brutal.
And I thought,
he's like a genial owl, and then
suddenly,
the other side.
So you think, like, he's football, Andy can have a go at, Andy was happy to have a go to do him. And
it's just basically Harry H. Corbett from Steptoe and Son.
But then with Atletico Mints, you think, like, well, it doesn't want to be anything to do with football. We'll take him and put him into the Warhammer arena.
And with Steve McLaren, he exists in the football world, but he's more obsessed with his snake.
They're not exact carpets. Impressions.
They're not.
They're caricatures.
No. Yeah, exactly.
I think the Peter Beaver is pretty good.
Yeah. I'm still amazed that it took 50 episodes for Peter Beasley to emerge into this, because it just seems so obvious.
Is it 50 episodes?
It was episode 50, I think, when Beasley first appeared, yeah.
No, I mean, the podcast is quite well known. Do you think any of the people featured in it have ever listened to it or have any idea?
We know that Mark Lawrenson is aware of it, because his son's a big, big fan. I've spoken to Mark Lawrenson's son on Twitter about it, and Mark is, I think he's bemused by podcasts in general, maybe, and the existence of it, but I think he likes that it's a thing.
It was funny with Mark Lawrenson. Do you remember this, Andy? Just recently, he hadn't been commentating for a while. Mm. You got the feeling he'd been sidelined. Then there was some match, I'm thinking about 6 months ago, where he was the co-commentator. And Twitter had kind of changed. Mm. And they were saying, oh, actually, it's fucking great to have Mark back.
That's right, yeah.
Wasn't it weird?
He was doing his miserable thing, wasn't
he? And everyone
was
saying, yeah, actually, I prefer this.
It was a cup match or something, a really rotten cup match. And he was just doing his shtick.
And that absence had made the... It seemed to work better than...
But he does that. He'll be at a World Cup final and go, oh, Christ, here we are.
But if it's a shit match, he'll call it as a shit match.
Well, yeah, I mean, he doesn't say, you know, it's an absolute privilege to be here in Brazil for the greatest historic event.
Yeah.
You know, it's miserable as sin, whatever's happening.
I'm halfway through writing a thing for him for our next episode. He's going to be our official summer ambassador.
Who's this?
Lawrenson. I haven't quite got it finished yet.
What, visit England?
Sort of thing, yeah.
Hodgson seems to know a lot about Warhammer. I mean, who's writing his scripts? There's some very accurate detail there about berserkers.
Just all stuff that's plucked from Wikipedia. I don't know whether it's accurate or not.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, have you had any kind of pencil necks writing ink? Well, of course a berserker wouldn't be a troll.
I don't think we have, because we've both written bits of it.
Yeah. I used to write it, you write it now.
When I do it, I try and make it as accurate as it seems to be from what I can glean from...
I couldn't actually tell who was doing the voice for a while. Always do it,
I like that. There's been a couple of people have said that recently on Twitter. I can't figure out who's doing the voices.
Oh, that's sweet, isn't it?
So that's good, yeah.
Seems to merge into one pod.
Northern gloop.
What's the story with Casper the Snake? That's McLaren's snake, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just... I. What can I say? I don't know. Well, it's the same thing. Steve McLaren seems that worth doing. And
this is what just a hapless.
But I can't do. Yeah, but I can't do football. I don't want to make it to football. So yeah, I just thought. I don't know where it came. But he had a pet snake, and it seems, you know, like sometimes if you're doing an individual, you know, you need two voices. You got to bring someone into the scene. Yeah. And he's a kind of silent foil for him to express his weakness.
Okay. I'm fairly gullible. A lot of the stories, I actually start believing them. But is anything true at all?
I think there was truth at the beginning, Andrew. I think some of my tales that eventually... Like, I had a South African incident.
Yeah.
Right, with the gamekeeper fella. And then
off. I mean, in the early ones, you were talking about experiences you've had with footballers and that on aeroplanes and things.
Yeah.
And they seem to be rooted in reality.
Yeah.
You know,
I was just really watching. Did Mickey Drink really retrieve those keys?
Yes. Yeah.
From a test.
Yeah, it's like because so good, such a good thing to go to a World Cup when you're young. I don't know whether it is now. Because it's funny, I'm 60 years old now, and still still return my memories of that Spain World Cup. But yeah, it was a field hole, probably five by five. 4 foot deep with a hole in the middle of the planks on the top, and his fucking keys fell out of his back pocket. You got to get them. That's how we're getting home.
It's your keys, isn't it? That's it.
Honestly,
your life.
You know,
lifeline.
Stink of it. Fucking football. It was the fucking hell.
Still
but you can't get. You've got to get in.
Yeah.
If you knew Mickey, you'd know it's not that big a deal. Fuck it, I'll get in.
Draw straws for him. He'd
be no, Mickey's going to get in. There's no worries.
Were they his keys?
No, they were. They were out. We bought a transit van
to go to
Spain.
So that's your first World Cup.
I did Spain. I did Italy.
Wow.
And I'm feeling I've done another one, Euros or something. But Spain and Italy were the great ones because the Italy one, it was it was the Naples, that wonderful quarter final against Cameroon, with Gascoigne and that. And to be, it was amazing. It was an amazing thing. I'd never seen it before. It's a nice stadium, Napoli's one. Then just before the teams come out, they put the lights out, which seems obvious in a way. But as the teams come out, it's darkness, and then it goes bang.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, fuck. And you could almost see the rest of the England team. You could almost feel it, like, oh fuck. Gascoigne.
Well, is their arse falling out?
You felt that, you know what I mean? But Gascoigne fucking
right on.
And like, yeah. Wow, he was magnificent.
That was in Naples.
That was in Naples.
I recently watched the Maradona film, which is incredible. It's out today. You can take your Dolmio with you and watch it.
Oh, my God.
And that was the end of that season where he'd done what he did at Naples, yeah.
Well, that's when they turned against him, because he took a penalty in that stadium, didn't he?
Is that right?
Against Italy, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what this film is largely hinges on. Yeah. He basically ran out of town after that.
Blimey. And then we went to the next match was up in Turin against Germany.
Semi, you're at that, amazing.
All the word on the England fan streets, you know, we were down there in Naples, was don't fucking go.
Mm.
It's going to be hell. Some sort of revenge for a Liverpool match or something.
Right.
Some such rumour. And
for Heysel.
I lost my bottle and watched it. And a lot of England fans did. There was a lot of us still there.
We didn't go to the game.
Didn't go. We were all too scared. There was this. These rumours going around that he's just going to get. It's going to be carnage.
I don't know. It's like about 40,000 Germans, about 4,000 England.
Is that right? Yeah. Honestly, there was a real atmosphere. Don't go. And where we were in Naples, no one seemed to have shifted. There was still like thousands of England fans watching the Germany match there.
Yeah.
Jesus. I mean, do you still get out to watch England now? I mean, it's still pretty unpleasant. Recently, there's been pleasantness.
I don't think
I stopped going. It's just there's only so much time you want to spend dodging patio furniture in it.
I've taken my boys to see him a few times just for that experience.
Away?
To a Wales match, and my son went to the Euros in France and that. I mean, it's ridiculous because I'm as a parent. My son went to Marseille for, so he's down there. I'm watching images of the telly of like the CS gas and the fucking blood everywhere and all that.
Mm.
And then Harry phones me up and says, yes, I'm in that hotel on the front there. That's where I put it out. I says, well, what are you doing? He says, we're just holed up in the room. He says, it's really frightening.
Yeah.
There's fucking CS gas in the foyer. It's just...
And of course...
And then you realise, it's fucking shit, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I was in Marseille in 98.
Was that a bad one as well?
Yeah, yeah. We were actually holed up in a yacht, which was nice.
Right, yeah.
Watching it all going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was horrific.
And of course, that hotel in Marseille inspired the Jambon episode,
which is
the 15.
Yeah, somehow feels like a landmark episode. Yeah, somehow.
That's another one. I assume that was real, surrounded by ham in a hotel.
Yeah,
is that just sat here doing?
No, that's not real.
It was so thick.
That was a studio. It was a studio near London Bridge with a fan switched on.
It's a terrible thing, really, because
you do conjure up some fantastical.
It's a skill. I don't know whether it's a skill that you could be proud of, because I'm quite Peter popular. Liar. Would I lie to you now as well? Yeah. It's like I seem to be a good liar.
I just took it on spec that you'd gone down to Marseille, got the train, which
because it was
do.
Right in the middle of it. It was about 2 days after it all kicked off, wasn't it?
You seemed to have a lot of jambon around the room,
yeah.
And a bit of lay,
there was lay. Yeah.
I just about 2/3 away. Were they really doing that? Of course not. It's kind of ruining it for me now. I won't believe anything. Is Vardy quite a new character? I mean, remotely how Jamie Vardy speaks.
Not remotely how he speaks. No, we used to do something called Gangs of the UPL.
Yes.
And
it was part of the England.
It's part of the England the stuff
thing,
on it,
wasn't it?
And it was Don't Pass to Vardy. Harry Kane, Don't Pass to Vardy.
Yeah.
And
Vardy became this edgy outsider character, didn't he?
Yeah.
Cool.
To be honest with you, you know, like you've got a new player. There's so many. I'll do Damari Gray. I was looking for a Leicester player to do. Madison. There's a lot of them from the home counties, more than, especially these youngsters.
Okay.
So they've got no voice.
Yeah.
So I look for someone who's from somewhere and attempt that accent. It's not an attempting their voice, just their accent, really. I don't know where Jamie Vardy's from. It's how things work. Like, a day before I did Jamie Vardy, or within the week Jamie Vardy, I was doing an impression of Paul McCartney. The Beatles were vegetarians. And someone made the mistake of saying, it's not bad, that.
Yeah.
So I wanted to use that voice, so fuck it, Jamie Vardy can have it.
also seems entirely at odds with his character. He seems quite a chippy piece of work, but in your podcast, he's kind of a laid back.
Yeah, he's quite cool, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yes. It could be anyone.
Yeah. I think of all the characters we do, I think I want to be Jimmy.
Joe Bird. Is he just using his name as far as he's gone with that one?
Yeah, that's kind of...
And his chin.
Like the little trick, isn't it? We've used... When we did... Our Man and Jim's comedy, for example, has always been the same, but we had one show that was a big success, which was Shooting Stars, because people were comfortable because they could see Jonathan Ross or Chris Evans, somehow it just makes them, they'll then bother to listen to our comedy.
Yeah.
So it's a similar kind of trick here a bit, isn't it? In sort a way, because it's Roy Hodgson. I mean, it's just fucking nonsense.
But by kind of an opposite of that, we get a lot of people that say that they've got no interest in football or they hate football, but they love the podcast.
Well, yeah, man, that's the greatest compliment, isn't it?
Yeah, they don't really know who the characters are in real life, but that they...
I was saying earlier, I played a bit of Mr. Fernandez to my partner in bed last night. She's happy to listen to it. No concept of who Mr. Fernandez is. Yeah. But
it's that theatre of the mind thing, isn't it? You can just let your imagination run off.
I think just that's nice to hear. Like. I went to sleep. So to get
nice
back to
tune.
That. So McLaren, he's left QPR, but he's left it in good nick.
He's left it in good nick.
Tidy, carpet wise.
Laundry wise, carpet wise. He's got rid of all the laminates and replaced it with a good deep pile carpeting.
Yeah. They did actually strike a
They've got every chance.
We had a chairman at Chester who literally cited the new carpet in the club bar and the fact that we had three working faxes. We may get relegated out of the league, but it's not been a failure.
Yeah.
On the admin side, everything's looking good.
Three working faxes.
Yeah. Wow.
Not just part.
Two working and one under repair.
That's an ongoing one. I mean, do characters kind of phase in and out?
I feel a responsibility. There's some of them that I would happily do every week. I'm sure it's the same with Andy, but you feel a bit of a responsibility that they
keep
can sense
fresh.
There's something. I should listen again because there might be something new this week.
So it's almost like a soap opera where characters get a little pluck, they get the storyline and then they go back in the box.
Yeah, we're building up quite a roster now.
I think when we get one and we realise it's a good one, we'll do it non-stop for about 4 or 5 weeks, but then you give it a rest and something else comes back. I mean, the alderman there was in this episode.
We haven't done it for a long time.
I had to look at an alderman as a low-ranking government official, isn't it? Just below a mayor.
Yeah, it's an interesting one.
It's like,
I mean, there's no other football podcast doing that.
There's a local borough,
yeah,
and it's got a Chinese community there, for example. So the Chinese community hasn't got a chance of getting a councillor, but they're an important. They're not enough votes. So when the council goes on their first week, they say let's appoint some aldermen so they can ask someone from the Chinese community or someone who was of importance. So they're never voted for.
It's kind of like late official, is it?
Yeah. That represents something in the borough.
I mean, the Guardian Football aren't talking about that.
Well, no. I don't
know. I'm not aware that they are.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Listen to any other football podcasts?
I don't anymore. No, I mean, I think that there's far too much said about football. To be honest, I don't think
it's just a noise.
It is. I mean, we've got 24-hour Sky Sports News, and we've got Talk Sport around the clock. And
that's amazing.
I don't. I'm not interested in hearing whether what Paul Pogba's future might be at 10 a.m. and then
breaking.
Hearing people talking about it again at 4 p.m.
Sky sources.
I mean, I watched Sky Sports News the other week, and Kevin Davies was on. And I imagine they'd got him into the studio, they paid for a car for him to come in, he was probably getting a nice fee to be there.
Is he the secret footballer? It's a rumour,
no comment. And he said that this was just post-Champions League final, and he said the best thing that Harry Kane could do to get over the loss in the Champions League final would be to win the Nations League with England. I thought, fuck me, that's really insight, that, isn't it? That's magnificent.
So you've lost the game, now try and win again.
Yeah, I'm glad they've got him in to you know, deliver that insight from a former professional.
I mean, you just run out of things to say. Like,
yeah.
I don't get alone. When I watch football, I turn it on 10 seconds to kick off.
Yeah.
Go outside for
half-time. I'll watch the football. Yeah.
I've never heard Gary Neville speak. Don't know what he sounds like.
I think that I'd have to give credit to Carragher and Neville for the Monday night thing.
Yeah.
But it is a forensic analysis.
Yeah.
It's like JFK.
Yeah. But it's quite nice. It restored my faith a bit in it, because I was like, Andy, you know, like, you could actually question sometimes with TalkSport, like, do they know anything about football any more than just the bloke who goes occasionally, you know? Yeah. But then I was quite refreshing to see them say, oh, fuck no.
Because they go a bit deep. I mean, there's some of them I really like. I really like Clinton Morrison's really good, I think. He started doing quite a bit of stuff now. Clint Morrison's good, and
I've heard
if Roy Keane or Graeme Souness are on together, I'll watch that, because that's just pantomime.
Just the bristling tension of it.
Yeah. I'm not that arsed about fucking technical insight.
I mean, Keane can't get paid by the word. It's just the whole passive aggressive.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like watching a performance, isn't it? It's like watching theatre.
Jesus. But, you know, a lot of it, TalkSport, is just about getting people to phone in. Let's just say something controversial. So.
Yeah.
Dave, the Arsenal fan, can ring in.
Yeah, and like we did sort of opinion stuff early on, and we didn't think we had any kind of
right.
Yeah.
What is the feedback? Do you get people in the comments going, "What? I listened to this thinking it was about football, and I'm horrified," or is it encouraging?
I think what the most annoying thing is that people think it's a football podcast when it pretty much isn't anymore.
Yeah. Yes, if we could go back, we probably wouldn't have labelled it as a football one. But that's where it came from. So
it's going in a football magazine. So
yeah,
there's football in there.
I think it must enhance your enjoyment of it if you know football.
Knowing Steve McLaren.
It must do a bit.
Now I can't. Well, I never really took him that seriously to start with, but now I can never. I can never take him seriously again.
Yeah,
I will just be thinking of him and his carpet.
Yeah, I've got to turn things around for Peter. Sometimes I think, well, I've got, you know, like, I have no idea what Peter B is. I'm a lovely, bright, energetic chap. I have no idea.
Did you see that thing that someone had tweeted from an old shoot questionnaire from years ago? What would you do if you were invisible for a day? I think he said I'd do something like go and press the button on a zebra crossing.
Oh, right, just spend all day pressing the button.
Staring like he does on Mince.
Jesus, that Slaughter sounds a place. Well, am I living in North London? I'm not.
Yeah, it's near Alexander Palace.
Oh, right, very.
It's you know, like, there was one in EC1, I remember. Like, its thing is meat.
Okay, and Adrian Lewis.
Offals and meats.
He's just a patron of it.
Yeah.
Can't get enough. Of course, when the Darts World Finals on, that's where he is every day.
It's a shame. His game has gone to pieces since his back-to-back World Championship.
Yeah.
And are things related, do you think?
I just love the darts a bit. And with my family, we all, you know, we just all speculate as to what stench is around Lewis, what he's eating when he walks off.
Yeah.
And the last one, he had a little brown paper bag that he kept going into. Just think, I'm lucky. I've got a place I can then come and, fantasise about his life.
Well, there was a fart gate at the darts recently. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't.
Gary Anderson was accused of farting.
Yeah.
And he in turn accused his opponent of farting.
Yeah, that's right. I saw that. I can't believe Gary Anderson would fart.
His digestive system seemed fully intact.
Doesn't seem like a farter to me. It seemed like mind games, that, I think.
Right, we've slightly covered football. You're famously a Borough fan, Bob. In fact, you were in the mag recently talking about Borough.
Yes, I was, yeah.
How's that working out for you? Disappointing season? Or
it was okay. I mean, I always think the most that you can hope for is that your season goes to the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I suppose that's all you can hope for. I mean, even if it's relegation, you know, so there's a little story to follow and still some belief in some sort of outcome.
Well, yeah, I guess that's what the playoffs are for.
Yeah, and we went to the last match, so. But we've not been great to watch. And I don't think that I'd realised how soul-destroyed. I thought, like, I would enjoy watching, but I'd never had that feeling before. We've played badly in the past under Karanka and so on, but it hasn't been week in, week out, and Jesus, it's not a pleasant experience. It really isn't. It's like, ooh.
Is that down to Pulis?
I think so, yeah.
Are you saying he's gone? Is Pulis gone then?
Yeah, Pulis went at the end of the season.
Oh, true.
And we've now, just today, appointed Woodgate.
Okay. Would Pulis make a character? How would
I have done Pulis, haven't I? But I struggle a bit, yeah. He's Welsh southwesty.
Right, yeah,
it's
yeah,
odd.
Yeah.
And I also feel a bit rotten. I feel a bit rotten doing Middlesbrough stuff because it's my club.
True. And Andy, you're a long-suffering Sunderland fan.
Yeah, long-suffering's the word, I think, yeah. It's that kind of thing Bob's talking about. If there's a narrative and a bit of a drama going on and a storyline that makes it better, and we've really had that last couple of seasons. Of course, we had the Netflix series last year, and then this season has almost been as perfect a scripted Netflix season as you could ask for.
Yeah.
We started the season by beating Charlton 2-1. In injury time, and we ended the season losing 2-1 to Charlton at Wembley in injury time.
Do Sunderland fans
couldn't make it up?
Are Sunderland fans happy with Sunderland till I die? Do they like it?
I think so. Yeah, I think it showed the club in a good light, and it showed the truth about what was going on that season as well. Because we had that Martin Bain slippery character. It was CEO, and he walked off with a £1.7 million payoff.
Part. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I don't think any character like. I don't know, I'm forgetting the posh word for it, but he sums up everything about North East football.
A chancer.
A chancer,
yeah.
Convincing North East.
Yeah.
But it's, you, do you know what
a
I mean,
bullshitter.
Andy? Bullshit.
Yeah. I don't even think it's North East, I think it's probably football throughout. There's all these characters that leech from clubs because they've got a bit of chat.
Yeah.
And but, you know, since then, new ownership... the ownership's going to change again. Apparently, someone's coming in, some American guy. He's an English guy, I think, but he's based in New York.
Big
and
money.
He's got money, apparently, but you never know. You never know, you know, just because someone's wandering in with a sack of money that doesn't mean they're going to spend it wisely.
So welcoming of any if anyone weighs in.
Yeah, that's because
like,
we're just desperate to just have any kind of, you know, glimmer of hope.
Mm.
So we're there again. We've got another season in League One. We really need to get out of it this season because you can end up stagnating in the way Sheffield United did for a long time.
But when you say like we really need to get out of it,
yeah,
it's like that there's some bigger plan to go where? What
14th in the Championship.
But I'm just thinking, what does Sunderland,
I don't know, Sunderland's got a 48,000 capacity stadium.
Yeah.
By rights, Sunderland should be in the Premier League, but it doesn't work like that. But, you know, we should look at what Southampton did because they were in that league and they turned their attention to bolstering their youth academy and worked their way back up to the Premier League again. I mean, no disrespect to clubs like Bournemouth and Watford and Southampton. They're sitting pretty in the Premier League now. And you would think a club with a massive support of 48,000 fans should be doing that as well. But it doesn't happen.
Well, you know, we've had this argument before. Cause I think Robbie Savage said... The Premier League should be Leeds, Sunderland.
Hmm.
You know, that's just a snapshot in time.
Just got
there's
back in
kids
there.
Who won't think that.
Yeah.
Bournemouth are in there for winning lots of
Bournemouth
are
because they run the club properly.
Yeah.
It is interesting what you say, Andy, actually. You know, like, maybe you shouldn't be in such a rush to get out because, like, Southampton did it, Sheffield United did it,
Man City
Norwich did it. You know, like, you can use that league one time.
Hmm.
Maybe not being too desperate to get 34-year-olds in who might get you up.
It reminds me where that... When we signed Niall Quinn and Kevin Phillips and we had two seasons in the Championship and we missed out on that playoff final in 98.
Yeah.
But then we just tweaked it a bit the second season and got 105 points.
Yeah.
And to go up after that playoff final would have been too soon possibly. And then you get that extra season, you get more momentum and we finished seventh in the Premier League twice when we went up with Kevin Phillips scoring for fun.
Mm.
So it's almost like we need to improve on what we've done last season. And try and get it at League One, but if we start to go back and start to tread water, that's when
your team needs a bit of an identity. Though it's, I don't know.
Yeah, we need an identity. It's a double-edged thing because, to be fair, to Jack Rossi came in at the start of the season and on the first day of training, and I think there was 10 players there,
Jesus.
So there wasn't a squad, and he did have to build a squad up really quickly. And you can only get what's available and who'll come. So it was a bit of make do and mend sort of thing. So we did. fairly well, finished fifth. But at the same time, you know, there's players like Lee Cattermole and Ian McGeady there, and you'd think that promotion should have been achievable. But we'll see.
I mean, we do live with that problem up there, don't we? I think it's quite hard to attract people. Yeah, it's an extra. Definitely. You have to pay an extra few million.
It's turning into a football podcast. This is what it could have been.
Yeah, he's got football opinions.
So you just completed episode 84. I mean, if you look at a lot of podcasts, a lot of them, you know, you see episode 12, nothing for a year. They sort of fade out. How do you think you've kept the momentum going? Because you knock them out, what, every two or three weeks?
It's about every couple of weeks, isn't it? We've had gaps when we haven't done anything, when Bob's been off doing other stuff. Sure. But we're kind of in the groove of doing one a fortnight now, and we keep them short. I think people tend to switch off after about 35 minutes of podcast, so you've got to just be as brief as you can. And I think once every 2 weeks for half an hour is enough, really.
Yeah.
And the preparation, I'm surprised how meticulous the preparation was, because, you know, there's a tendency to think you're just making up as you go along. Yeah. But
in the early days, there was I saw an old one, like, I just had about 10 lines.
Just bullet points and stuff.
Just bullet points, yeah. But it's better for putting a bit of graft in.
Absolutely. So what we do in the meantime? Will you look for football stories, or are you so far removed from football now that...
It doesn't feel like football's of any... So if I do Gangs of the EPL, I try to attach it to something.
Yeah.
Like when Spurs got...
Fairly topical, yeah.
But I don't enjoy that now, EPL.
Do you not?
No, I can't put my finger on it. It's like, it just doesn't seem much fun to do, but maybe it's like being tied. Yeah, maybe it's because of the fact that it's tied to football.
Maybe that's the thing, we've just done a lot of them.
It's almost like a band set list. You're dropping the odd song from your set. Yeah. Bring back some early stuff. You're always recording down here?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Because I'm not London. I'm Tunbridge Wells, so London's about halfway.
It's halfway, isn't it? Yeah. Towards Sunderland and Tunbridge Wells. That's what he told me. I haven't looked on a map, but
exactly,
that's what he said.
It's like Kevin Keegan told someone Newcastle was near London, didn't he?
Yeah. we'd just keep doing it while it's fun, I think. I think you kind of know when it stops being fun.
Absolutely.
So.
Maybe, yeah, I mean, the Crime Files is almost a podcast within a podcast, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I listen to some of those Crime Files.
Yeah.
I listen more to the kind of white collar ones. There's one called Swindled, which is like, you know, people jibbing quiz shows and things.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, right,
rather than just murdering guts.
Yeah.
I mean that could almost be a spin-off.
Yeah, I think someone has done a spoof crime one.
There was, I think the people that did The Onion did one.
Yeah.
It was kind of like the serial spoof of that.
But that's just me, that's just my life. That's what I listen to.
Okay.
So, you know, you're in the car listening to one. And then you just think, oh, fuck, I should do one with footballers. You know, I like all that. I like, if you listen to one like A Sword and Scale or any of the telly ones, the soundtracks to them are absolutely ridiculous. You don't notice them, it's done very cleverly, but they're actually ridiculous. It goes like Atlanta, 4th of February. You know, like fucking... They never stop, and they?
Yeah.
The sound all the way through them, fucking...
And,
you know, just to get the idea that, oh, Atlanta doesn't sound very good, does it? Did you hear that noise?
Yeah, crying.
Wow.
A bottle breaks.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. You listen to crime ones. You said you don't really listen to football ones. You listen to any other kind of podcast?
I listen to...
There's so much shit out of the day. It's amazing that it's got such a simple format and it's kind of caught on.
Yeah.
It's quite an old school thing. It's almost like an old radio.
It's like radio, isn't it? Yeah.
It is. I mean, I've touched on it earlier. It's that thing of having complete creative control and being able to do whatever you want to do. Because, you know, he's done loads of telly stuff. I've done bits of radio stuff and sort of fringes of telly stuff. And you're always at the behest of some commissioner or some management who'll tell you what you can and can't say. But with this, we can just do whatever we want to do.
And I swear my head off because they have a swear.
And no one's going to tell you to...
I've just literally written down effing and jeffing. I mean, the swear count is up there. Does that put you in a different category? Do you have to...
Not that I'm aware of.
It has to have explicit content, the little E symbol next to it, but they all have that, but, you know.
I mean, I sort of think that if I was watching football or talking about football in a pub, everyone would be effing and jeffing.
Yeah.
It's, you know... I think it's one of the reasons why a lot of YouTube and stuff it's one of the tiny part of it, but one of the reasons why it's taken over from TV is because people can swear.
You
know, it's not much real.
They always apologise on Skype if you hear any foul language.
The crowd or something,
Literally, you're so shit, it's something. Yeah. It's just we've all heard it, we've all been to football.
Yeah,
it's kind of old-fashioned. It reminds me of me being 17 and a parent watching an Arthur Askey film and thinking that's from a completely different era and it's of no interest to me. And I imagine the youth today, or the under 30s or whatever, if you do it without swearing, they'll have a similar feeling, you know, it's not...
Yeah. TV's become a bit puritanical. The whole watershed.
Well, I think part of why this works as well as it does is because of that, because you wouldn't get it anywhere else. It wouldn't work as a TV show.
You wouldn't
be allowed to do it on radio. It is what it is. So, you know, podcasts aren't a lesser format, if you like.
It's a more open format, basically.
And...
you never had any suggestion of beeping it out. It would be a headache to do that.
No,
I don't think so. It's just it's naturally where we're coming from.
That's why it works, I think, because of that honesty that it's got.
Yeah. Do you have any kind of celebrity followers that you know of in the football world?
We haven't had any feedback from anybody, have we?
No, I don't think so.
Not
that I'm aware of.
Mark Lawrence's son is a big fan, and Mark's kind of slightly bewildered by it, but.
I'm sure there's some reference to Don't Pastor Vardy came from some football back out.
I love the thought of Jamie Vardy listening to that again. Well, that's not me.
It's absolutely not me.
That's absolutely not me.
And I actually live in Polesden. Where's Polesden?
Well, I can imagine Adrian Lewis actively seeking out Slaughter's. Can't find it.
Find out what restaurant's all about. Sounds fantastic.
you do some other podcasts as well, don't you, Andy? You do a thing with Sam Delaney, don't you?
Yeah,
like your own rival almost.
Sort of. It's called Top Flight Time Machine. What it was originally, it started out as being we'd cover a different Premier League season. Each episode, we started at the beginning of the Premier League in '92, and we just did one season per episode, and we put an episode out once every 2 weeks.
Okay.
And then again, it mutated into something else, and now it's a 5-episode a week. It's almost like a radio show.
You do 5 a week?
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck.
But again, we just do half an hour. So we're not invading people's.
But you're coming out of London.
No, we do. I don't for a moment.
Are you doing
a
remote
thing?
Yeah.
I did one yesterday with them when I was down. But it's sort of rooted in football, but it's not, and it goes off in other directions. And it's that thing. I think it's the thing you said. Football fans, when they're in the pub, they don't talk about football.
They don't sit
and talk about tactics and systems and transfer speculation all that much. They'll talk about the thing that's on the fringes of football.
Exactly. We saw someone fall over, they had a shit
buying. And that's kind of what we're doing. So that's doing all right as well.
What do the actual football podcasts they let you go? Well, that was a shame about England, wasn't it?
I don't know. I genuinely haven't listened to one.
We lost to Holland.
I wish
we'd won.
I've listened to a Borough podcast, but of course that's fair enough. It's just, you know.
Yeah.
But I've never listened to any of the, like... The Guardian one's the big one, isn't it?
Football Weekly.
Is that the big one?
I've never listened to it. The Totally Football show spun off from that, because the couple of The Guardian...
And Peter Crouch does one.
Yeah, that's huge. That's
That's
just like, you know, Joe...
Anecdotes and stuff.
Yeah, he's quite an amiable guy.
Yeah.
Just, you know, when I was living in a house with so-and-so, you know...
Just jokes about
the cooking.
Well, that's quite interesting.
Yeah, it's like behind the scenes of a football. Yeah. Which he will only have that access being a footballer,
yeah.
He'd be good for Sunderland, wouldn't he?
Crouch?
Mm.
Lad.
Probably, yeah.
So are you okay with him doing other podcasts? You don't get too much.
Fine by me, yeah. I might do one on tactical military equipment and that. the drones.
And so you're still doing more filming stuff? We could run. So is it a new Big Night Out or something?
Yeah, we've got Big Night Out to start filming that in maybe a week's time or something.
Fantastic.
And we got a new fishing show.
Paul Whitehouse,
coming out in August.
So you must have watched Big Night Out back in 1990 and thought, that's the guy for me to do a podcast.
When the event podcasts, he'll do. No, but seriously, I was a massive fan of Big Night Out when it came out. And
that was
one of the things that made me realise that I'd wanted to do comedy and wanted to do writing, because it was kind of Vic and Bob and Viz.
What, because you thought it's so shit?
I just thought this just seems really easy. They're not doing anything that me and my mates aren't doing.
Yeah.
But no, it was sort of like comedy before then. A lot of it was rooted in Oxbridge and Footlights and or just university. Whereas what him and Jim were doing was just titting about in a pub. And they got on the telly. And okay, Viz just started out as being just someone doing their own magazine in the back bedroom. And it kind of showed you that there were other ways of getting into it.
Were you involved in Viz, Andy? Were you involved in it? Did you used to write for Viz?
I've done a few little bits now and then, yeah.
I guess that's why, this is good. You don't have to have a friend at the BBC to get any kind of commission.
Yeah. It helps to get someone with Bob's profile to get a podcast off the ground, though. Yeah. I'd recommend that thoroughly.
All right, I'll bear that in mind when I start mine next week.
Does everybody do one now?
Well, that's what I think. It's almost like having a Twitter account or being in the phone book.
Yeah, there's a deluge of them now.
I mean, how do you stand out amongst the crap, basically?
Oh, you're sorry?
How do you stand out, do you think? Just because
it'll end up being like telly, there'll be curation production teams.
I don't know. I mean, we got in, not at the beginning, but we got in 3 years ago, and I think that was a good time to do it and build up an audience because there wasn't that many of them around. But now everyone's doing one.
Do you think, how far do you think we are towards peak podcasts? I still know people who don't know what one is.
But then we're probably a bit off then, aren't we?
The thing, there's a couple of people I've heard of who are in the media and they say that it hasn't even started yet.
Really? A new word I learnt listening to it is a tod. Is that a northeast?
It's a northeast name for shit, yeah.
Tod Slaughter was an actor, wasn't he?
Was he?
Yeah, he's in the face of the window. It's like an old horror actor.
Right. Todd Slaughter.
So Todd is just to clarify. It's
shit, yeah.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.